David Sirota has joined us now. He writes a column in the International Business Times and various other things. He owns the 80s and 90s. It's personal property for some reason. David, how did that happen, for example? How did you happen to own those two decades?
Well, I grew up in them and writing about them.
Yeah.
And I became obsessed. I was very obsessed with all the movies from back then. I probably can quote many of them to you. And then
Go ahead, quote a few of them, if you would. Which ones do you do, Richard? The top of your head.
You know, I know many of the lines of, I mean, this is not doesn't make me a special person, but Back to the Future. I mean, I'm a big Back to the Future fan.
Let me ask you that about that. Can I ask you about that, David?
Sure.
David Sirota in Denver. Back to the Future. Is there something in Back to the Future that predicts that the Cubs will go to the World Series in 2015?
Boy, I can't remember. That, you know what? That's Back to the Future 2, which I'm not an expert on.
Oh, that's 2.
Maybe in that sports book. But you know the Back to the Future Day is coming up. You know that, right?
No, when is that?
Yeah, Back to the Future Day is, I think it's next week. It's either October 14th or October 15th. It's the day that they go to the future. October 14th or 15th, 2015 is the day they actually go to the future in the movie.
Right, and they know that it's the future because the Cubs are in a World Series.
Yeah, probably right.
Yeah, probably right. I believe that's the joke. So that's, but that's 2 then, huh? That's kind of disappointing.
Yeah, 2 is kind of disappointing. I agree.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, I got all your background material in here, and I can't find it. I think I left it at home. Can you tell us about your background?
Oh, my background? Sure, yes, of course.
Now, you write this column. Now, you're not exactly, what would you call you, a progressive journalist? Is that fair to say?
I call myself a journalist, investigative journalist.
What do you mean by that, though?
Well, I mean...
Have journalists in this day and age?
That's a very good question. I think we've got a lot of media. We don't have a lot of journalists.
Yeah.
I try to scrutinize all sides, both sides. We do a lot of digging on money in politics. It is true. I used to work in politics many years ago. I did work about 16 years ago for Bernie Sanders.
You did, really?
I worked for Dave Obey for a time.
I didn't know that.
Connection.
Yeah, cool. I like Dave Obey. How was Sanders to work for? You would have an insight there on that.
He's terrific. I mean, he's a great guy. I mean, he's a very he's all business. I'll put it that way. I mean, he's very focused on
anti-business, isn't he?
Well, I didn't think about it that way.
Yeah.
But he's very focused on the mission. I don't want to say that he's not warm, but he's very
But you just did, didn't you? I mean, that's clever way of getting around
that. He's not a particularly warm and cuddly guy.
No.
But he's definitely, let's put it this way. He can turn almost any conversation into a conversation about income inequality. I mean, you could be talking about, an episode of Seinfeld, and suddenly you're talking about income inequality.
Yeah. So some people have more of a quality income than others? Is that what you're saying?
I'm sorry, say again?
Some people have more of a quality income than others do?
Well,
is there a certain quality to it that others don't have?
Yeah, no, I think his point is,
I understand. I'm just being
the rich and the poor, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Let's go to the debate then. And how do you think, first of all, is it hard to cover someone that you've worked with? Should you file a disclaimer with every story?
Yeah, well, it's written right on my bio on every story we write. And, We did a story right before the debate where we looked at a number of contradictions in Bernie Sanders' record.
Oh.
And I'm pretty sure they didn't like his campaign didn't like that story, but that's my job it can be a little bit weird to cover somebody you worked for a long time ago, but look, it's part of the job, and we looked at what happens when he is pushing to combat climate change, but he's also pushing to lower gas prices. Lower gas prices sort of encourage people to use more gasoline, which isn't good for climate change. And what does he do when there are defense jobs in his state, and he's railing on wasteful defense spending, which can be a little bit of a contradiction? So we looked at all of those. And
but it's just politics, David. I don't know if I shouldn't have to tell you this.
Well, I mean, you're
attack
you're right.
All sorts of things that you do. Isn't that politics in general?
I think so, and I also think you can also have principles, but also have your principles run into themselves. And what you do at those points are important, especially when you're dealing, if you're running for president, where literally the federal government has agencies which are, in many cases, have opposite missions. You know, you got one agency that's designed to help the oil companies drill, and you got another agency that's designed to, you know, protect the environment and potentially stop the right. Oil companies from drilling. So how he manages those conflicts is important to understand if he becomes president.
Yeah. But it's true of everyone, isn't it? I mean, you took Hillary to task for many of her anti-bank finance statements while being, you know, funded by many of those same people.
Well, I mean, that was the most incredible comment to me in the yeah. debate. She was asked about her enemies, and she said that the drug and insurance companies are her big enemies. And, of course, they've given her millions of dollars, her family foundation, and she's pushed a lot of their agenda items. So, I mean, I guess it's kind of like with enemies like these, who needs friends, right?
Right. But in fairness, isn't everyone paid off by the drug companies and the insurance companies? I mean, they give to everybody, don't they? They're equal opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, I think look, Bernie Sanders doesn't get a lot of pharmaceutical and insurance money, I'll tell you that.
But no.
For the
and
most
he's a guy
part,
who needs pharmaceuticals at his age.
Well, I mean, for the most part, you know, I think a lot, yes, those industries give a lot of money to both parties, to members of Congress of both parties. Hillary Clinton has been at the top of the list of recipients of that money. And I think it's, you know, even though these companies give to, and all, you know, Wall Street too, gives a lot of money to all of these candidates, I think when people are running for president, it's important for the voters to understand, you know, who really is their friend and their favorite. That's an important thing.
Yeah. Is it a good idea for everyone running for president to have a fund of some sort, like the Clinton Fund?
You're talking about the foundation?
The foundation, yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean,
might it be helpful if, like, Rand Paul had a foundation and then he'd...
Well, you know, here's the thing. I mean, the foundation allows major donations, unlimited donations. They're tax deductible donations for the donor. Mm-hmm. And I think in the Clinton Foundation, that foundation does certainly do some good work. But I also think that foundation has been a way for the Clintons to cultivate very powerful political interests and develop relationships with them. And of course, the donors get something out of that as well. They get to have the Clintons as kind of public relations PR image partners with them as they promote themselves across the world. So there is definitely a symbiotic relationship there that is I know the Clintons say, well, you know, it's separate from politics, but there's definitely political relationships there.
Oh. And I think Mike Huckabee is in on that heifer thing.
The what?
The heifer fund, you know, where they give heifers to people. I think that's a front for a Mike Huckabee foundation.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, the Heifer Foundation.
Interesting.
Yeah. Feel free to use that, you know, from an unnamed
maybe
source.
Maybe it's my next story.
Yeah, outside everything, unnamed source. Okay, yeah, all right. And the debate in general, though, was kind of different in that there actually was a discussion of issues, whether people cared about them or not, but, you know, which is quite different from the Republican debate, which was a shouting match and character assassination. So you can't say as a journalist, well, that's a good thing, but that was certainly different in kind.
It absolutely was. I mean, I thought that the debate in the Democratic debate really did focus on policy. What I think was confusing was that it was there was not a lot of discussion about necessarily all of the or even most of the distinctions between the candidates. I mean, there was some debate about gun control where there was a distinction made by Hillary Clinton, but Bernie Sanders really did not explicitly, in a lot of cases, draw out the distinctions between his own votes on many economic issues and Hillary Clinton's own votes on many economic issues. So my question coming out of the debate is whether in that debate people were really given a chance yet to understand what the key distinctions are, except other than gun control, between Clinton and Sanders.
Yeah. And looking at the Republicans, have you had a chance to uncover some contradictions amongst them as well?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
inconsistencies or contradictions? Because they're pretty consistent, actually, if you think about it. Be hard to do.
Well, I mean, the person who's really I'm kind of fascinated with every day is Jeb Bush, because he you never know what that guy's going to say.
Yeah, the disappearing Jeb Bush. The disappearing man.
Yeah, he's disappearing in the polls.
Shrinking.
That's for sure. I mean, here's a guy who came out at the beginning of his campaign and said, you know, he hates lobbyists. He's going to take them on. He's going to change Washington. Now, separate from the fact that a guy who's the son and brother of a president being a change agent for Washington, separate from that kind of mind-blowing idea, is the idea that Jeb Bush was extremely close to the corporate lobbying community in Florida. We traced emails between him and corporate lobbyists consulting on policy in Florida. A big lobbying firm in Florida is his big donor, and this is one of my favorite.
Is it Lehman? Stories. You don't name names, but is it Lehman?
No, well, it was the lobbying firm is called the Southern Strategy Group. Oh. But the whole Lehman thing is a separate story. But
okay. You'll
love this. When Bush announced how much he hates lobbyists at this big event down in Florida, it was at an event organized by one of the major corporate lobbying groups in Florida. So,
okay, I don't see a contradiction there, do you?
I don't see any contradiction.
This is politics as usual, though. There's so much of this. He's, you know, what is he's just so bad at it. You know, he's the drags of the whole Bush line there. Is poor Jeb. I mean, it's unfortunate. I'm the last of my line as well, so say what you will. But,
I think the interesting thing is that he and Hillary Clinton, too, I think, on a lot of these issues, are banking on the idea that contradictions are not going to be scrutinized, that nobody's going to actually shine the spotlight at them, or nobody really cares. I mean, you know, Hillary Clinton, you know, to go back to her, I mean, you know, she was talking about this 12-nation trade deal, the Trans-Pacific Partnership. She campaigned for it. She was one of the administration's spokespeople for it. Gave 45 speeches suddenly on a dime. She's running for president. She turns around. She says she opposes it. And I think she's banking on the idea that nobody's even going to notice or care.
Weren't we talking about Jeb Bush?
Yeah, well, I mean,
you're back on your
him.
Hillary thing. That's all you're doing.
No,
you just, you
no,
don't.
No,
you really can't stand Hillary Clinton.
No, that's not true. I mean,
anything about her.
It's the same thing.
You
with
don't
Jeb
like
Bush.
Her hair or the way she dressed. Nothing.
No. I don't think.
Nothing.
No. No, but I'll keep, look. It's the same thing with Jeb Bush. It, you know,
the
he,
pantsuits are. Like, well, that's it.
Well, no.
Finally, we've broken through to what the problem is.
Yeah. You twisted me up.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But, you know, in all of this, and then Donald Trump gets to be immune from any criticism or anything else because that's just Donald Trump. You know. He has a free pass now.
I will tell you as a journalist that I find it very difficult to cover him because, one, it's not clear where any of his positions match up to really. There's no consistent thread there at all. I mean, here's a guy who's a billionaire real estate mogul railing on, you know, multimillionaire hedge funders, but then also railing on immigrants. And, you know, I mean, yesterday he made this big splash against Jeb where he made the point on a television show where he said, you know, George Bush was president on 9/11, and then Jeb Bush, you know, kind of got upset and put out on Twitter, you know, my brother kept us safe, which then Trump like went back and said basically he didn't keep us safe because 9/11 happened on his watch. And so, you know, then the Jeb campaign said, you know, Donald Trump sounds like a liberal conspiracy theorist. So the point is that it's hard to know where Donald Trump's coming from on any issue.
I'm sorry, I was drinking a glass of water. That was a long sentence. and I am a ventriloquist. You know, David Sirota is actually, I am actually saying everything that he's saying. Yeah, so how do you deal with a problem like Donald Trump, you know? For the Republican Party, they actually cannot do anything about him. He signed the damn sheet and said, you know, I'm a Republican, you know, Donald Trump.
I think the thing that scares the Republican establishment about Donald Trump is that Donald Trump, in some of his policy platform that rank and file Republican voters aren't mad at him about. I mean, here's a guy who's railing on hedge fund managers, and that is traditionally among the Republican donor class is not something you do. And yet Donald Trump keeps rising in the polls. And so I think Donald Trump is actually showing that there is this big divide between rank and file Republican voters and the Republican elite that doesn't like anybody criticizing anybody else on kind of economic class issues.
Okay, that's a different subject real quick. Government shutdown, are you for it or against it?
I'll cover it. I'll put it that way. As a journalist, I will cover
it. Is it going to happen, do you think, this time?
You know, it's really hard to say. I wish I had a good answer. I think probably not. I think probably both parties see it as something they don't want to do in the middle of a presidential election.
Yeah. And this whole speakership thing.
That's crazy, right?
Yeah. What if they can never find one? Can it simply run itself? I mean, and have someone make announcements? They really need a speaker, but he's supposed to run the bills through and everything. I mean, he has actual function. Plus, he's number three in line for something, God forbid, should happen to the people above him, he would be president.
Well, I don't know.
It's kind of important. It sounds like it's important.
They're trying to get you know, Wisconsin's guy, Paul Ryan, to do it. And he doesn't seem to want to do it.
Paulie Ryan.
No. Yeah, he doesn't want to. I mean, I think, you know, what really could happen here is that the Republicans are going to need Democratic votes to elect the speaker.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a big vote in the whole House.
It's crazy.
And in some legislatures, look, I used to live in Montana where there was a situation in which the Republican Speaker of the House for a time was a Democrat. It was a single Democrat who ran because they needed the vote. So something weird. I don't think it's going to be Nancy Pelosi, but it could. I mean, we could have a Democratic Speaker. We could have some Speaker who mostly has Democratic votes. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, and Newt wants to come back and do it. I saw that. That was the scariest thing out of this whole.
I saw Kanye West wants to do it, right? Or Obama talking about it.
It would be good. David Sirota, I want to thank you for stopping by and giving us some of your insights.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
What's going on? And we should mention International Business Times.
Right, IB Times.
Yeah. How do you write stuff like you do for a business publication? That's a little unusual, isn't it?
Well, no, because almost everything I write is about money, and so money is business.
Money is what?
Money is business. So
I'm writing mostly about money. Business of America is money. Oh, no,
yeah, that's right.
Business of business is business. I don't know. David, great talking with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
David Sirota, ladies and gentlemen, from Denver. And there you go.